Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show.
Boom.
Good afternoon, Patriots. Welcome back, everyone, once again to another episode of Red Pill News. Occam's Razor, I mean. Joining me today, my co-host on this and every Thursday, my good friend, Mr. Al Keelan, also known as Uncensored Abe. We're now in day three of humiliation and defeat for Kevin McCarthy, the seventh vote for Speaker of the House. Either it's recently concluded or it's still going on and he's still not winning. Can't wait to see what happens next. Matt Gaetz with an unsurprising nomination, bringing it home. Is this the beginning of the end for Kevin McCarthy and his candidacy? I certainly would like to think so. All right, don't forget, you guys, if you're over there on Rumble, please hit the plus sign. That is the Rumble button. It lets everybody know you like the show. It's like a like. Generally, we have a couple thousand people here. Only a couple of hundred people push that. It's free. It's a major support for the show. It lets Rumble know that this is a good show. Helps us get on the leaderboard. All right, guys, do me a favor. Sit back, relax, and grab your popcorn, and Abe and I will be right back after this. All right, welcome back to the program. Thank you for joining us, everyone, and please join me in welcoming my co-host on this and every Thursday, Uncensored Abe. Abe, how are you there? Are we done being angry with each other? That was the conspiracy theory, anyways.
I will say, I will say there are some that don't like ideas being challenged with well-sourced and sauced information. It is not you. You try to facilitate open source and debate with every topic, and I love you for it. And all of you out there that missed the ideas of a lot of things happening over the holidays with me personally and with Zach and the rest, we understand, but no, the purpose of what we try to do is to debate and ideas and discussion and get the best topics out there. And for the most part, the vast majority of this community wants debate, wants the challenging of ideas. And that's what we try to do, bro.
Absolutely. 100%. You guys, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show today, I have two special requests for the audience. First of all, a viewer of the show named Tim, who lives in Virginia Beach. He's in need of legal representation. 2 years ago, Tim went to Washington, D.C. to hear Donald Trump speak. 2 days ago, he posted something on Twitter about Adam Schiff's relationship with Ed Buck. Ed Buck is the big Democrat booster and donor who had a penchant for picking up blackmail prostitutes and then injecting them with enough liquid crystal meth so that their hearts would explode. He did it on a number of occasions, and for a while he was able to get away with it. And I tend to think it may have had something to do with his relationship to a lot of high-profile Democrats, people like Adam Schiff. Well, no surprise, 24 hours after making that post on Twitter, Tim receives a call from the FBI. And the FBI wants him to come in and speak to them about going to Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Now, you know, given everything that we've learned here, Abe, about the FBI's very close relationship with Twitter, and then even more than that, Adam Schiff's very close relationship, being personally responsible for getting Paul Sperry and Greg Rubini deleted back in 2020, I can't believe that this is a coincidence, that those two events, the post on Twitter making the connection between Buck and Schiff, and then the call from the FBI 2 years after January 6th, I just can't believe that they're not related. So what I'm asking for is for anybody in the Virginia Beach area or just generally in that area, if you're a lawyer and you're willing to help Tim out, because he needs to have a lawyer present when he goes and speaks to the FBI. He, you know, it's so easy to get General Flynn'd, if you will. And it's just a good idea if you're ever going to be speaking with law enforcement that you have your lawyer present, because you never know what's going on. You never know what their plans are. And although law enforcement, oftentimes when they have negative goals in mind, they will make you feel as if requesting your lawyer's presence is somehow an indication that you've done something wrong. But that is your right as an American to not say anything that would incriminate yourself either on purpose or on accident. And it's your right to have a lawyer present. And there's just not a lot of lawyers who are willing to stick their necks out. So if there's anybody out there and you're in that area, Virginia Beach, if you can please send me an email either at redpill78@protonmail.com or go to my website, redpill78news.com, go to the contact box and then send me a message through there and I will put you and Tim in touch. And then the other thing I have is another viewer of the program.
Just real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just real quick. People are under no obligation to speak to the FBI unless they are facing some type of subpoena or charges. So they can ask him to do whatever he wants voluntarily. He is under no obligation to voluntarily speak unless he is under subpoena or anything. So just let him know that.
Okay, I will. Hopefully Tim's listening right now. But thank you very much for saying that. You're absolutely right. and then the other thing is another viewer of the program, Terry. He and his wife recently found that his wife has ovarian cancer. I've put him in contact with a couple of different resources for alternative treatments for cancers, some things that have had really, really good success. And I'm hoping that that's going to be enough to help Tim and his wife remain healthy and help you know, her get over this and make sure that she's going to be okay and be here for many years to come. But I need you guys to keep Terry and his wife in your prayers so that the healing power of God is going to be there at their backs as they go through this journey. And I really appreciate everybody for, you know, adding them to your daily prayers. I really, really appreciate it. Now, he is going to be, Miss Mary suggests iodine. I gave him, like I said, a number of different resources, tried putting him in touch with Charlene and Ty Bollinger, The Truth About Cancer. They have just so many different treatments available for them. I think that they'll probably end up going through a number of things. And, you know, Abe, in the instance of cancer, I think you got to throw the kitchen sink at it, you know. If you have as many different treatments as possible at your disposal, then why not go ahead and do it, especially if they're non-toxic and they're not going to make you sick. But fenbendazole is another good one. I see people mentioning ivermectin because that's another antiparasitic in the same way that fenbendazole is. But there are just so many different things out there. So Terry and your wife, I wish you guys the best, and please keep me informed about what's going on. Okay, let's get
into it. It's such the biggest frustrating part of of trying to help people with information is there are a lot of experimental and excellent treatments out there that Big Pharma doesn't want you to know about, and they stigmatize people who want to try to look at alternative treatments. But I hope people who are facing decisions like that open their minds to the idea that there are a lot of alternative treatments out there that may help them.
Absolutely. You know, and in my experience, take a look at the stuff that like the FDA and the government is fighting against the hardest. Because to me, those are probably the things that are going to give you the most success. If they want to do everything they can to shut it down, then there's a reason for that, especially when these treatments are non-toxic and they have, you know, good anecdotal results. And there's even research studies out. Specifically, one of the things that I said, I just learned like later that night, actually, about this doctor named Brzezinski. He was a Polish immigrant, came to the United States. He did cancer research at Baylor, which I believe is where Peter McCullough was at until recently. And he discovered a peptide that is present in the bodies of healthy adults, people without cancer, and that is not present in the bodies of people with cancer. They're called, I believe, like antineoplastins or something like that. But what he and his clinic in Texas do is they synthesize these peptides, and then this is one of the treatments that they give to people who have cancer. They have great success in healing people. My friend Charles Pixley and what was it, 17X? Dude, I think that was it. I think it was called 17X, something like that. Been a minute since I've looked at it, but you know, also just some easy stuff like B12 or something. I mean, there's just so much. Ivermectin, obviously. Lots of things. Sousa Castle says, follow Dr. Peter Gidden at Rise Up Into Health. Amazing alternative medicine. So, again, hopefully Terry and his wife are watching, and they'll see this, and you guys will give them some good ideas. Continue. B17, that's it, B17. Continue to throw that in the chat. All right. I want to get into the major news that's happening right now. That would happen to be the vote for Speaker of the House. Kevin McCarthy, Abe, shows no signs of taking his name out of the hat. And I've talked about this extensively over the last couple of days. So I'm interested to get your take, you know, kind of where you see this going and how you see this playing out. And I'd like to begin by mentioning that just before we came on the show, during this seventh vote, Matt Gaetz cast the first official ballot for none other than Donald John Trump. So, in my opinion, that has now opened the floodgates, and it's going to make it appropriate and even acceptable for members of the House of Representatives to cast their ballot for Donald Trump. And we'll see how that plays out over the course of the next several votes. But where do you think this vote for Speaker is?
Well, I'm thoroughly enjoying the process again and having a voice in the process, because once again, we have a group of patriots in D.C. who are listening to, you know, some activists out there that are the most boisterous. And instead of D.C. just ignoring us and just saying, eh, whatever, we're just going to force the vote and we're going to shove it down your throats like we do everything else in D.C. There are people standing up for us, and there are people who are negotiating in the process. And there are also a bunch of us who will never forget that Kevin McCarthy backstabbed all of us, and we're never going to forget it. And yeah, he should not be Speaker because of it, and he should go away because of it. And so in the meantime, you have this show being played out, and you have Fox News and the rest calling this chaos and all of these other things. And you see a lot of people feeding the chaos narrative. No. This is debate-style D.C. Participation of the American public in the process again. And this will continue to happen this way for the rest of this year and until further notice, whether D.C. likes it or not, because there are a lot of people who are sick and tired of not having their voices heard. And so we are going to activate our activists and have their voices be loud and heard, just as many others do. And I'm thoroughly enjoying today watching Nancy Pelosi for the seventh time have to fire herself. It is historic and beautiful to watch.
I think it's an incredible thing. You know, I mean, the founders created these processes within the federal government for a reason, you know, and I think that although there are people out there in America that I saw them yesterday, you know, go, well, you know, why does this have to just drag on? You know, they're They're not able to get to the business of the investigations that, you know, the same caliber of investigations that we've had before. Okay. They're not able to get to the business of passing bills. Oh, you mean all the bills that suck up the money that we don't even have, that we end up having to borrow from the Federal Reserve? Okay. So the programs that do absolutely nothing to benefit the people of the United States and, you know, quite often just enrich those members of Congress. You know, to me, Congress has become a mostly ceremonial body. They don't even read the bills. They don't know really what's in the budget to any full extent. They collect a paycheck. They show up to work 9 months out of the year. And when they do show up and they actually try to get anything done, they seem to be physically and mentally incapable of achieving any meaningful goals that are something the United States people would like to see. You know, I mean, they have a lot of passion projects individually. They talk about, you know, hot button issues like abortion or gun control, and they keep us focused on those things while at the same time, they're not really addressing any of the systemic problems that are facing America. And so I don't care how long it takes them. I will be happy to watch them go back over and over and over again. And I think the founders created it with this sort of, you know, unlimited number of votes that must take place to get to 218, because that process will force the caucus to come to an agreement amongst themselves. They must reach a compromise on someone that not only they can agree on at a number of 218, but also somebody that will represent the values of the American people. Because we know, like you said, Kevin McCarthy betrayed us. I don't believe Kevin McCarthy will represent the values of America. And I think that that was underscored to an even greater degree when Lauren Boebert went on the air and said that she and at least one other had gone to Kevin McCarthy and offered to give him that vote, the 218 that he needed to become speaker on the first round. All he had to do was agree to some really common sense things. And instead of agreeing to those common sense things, which would have been good for not only these members of the House, but also, I believe, good for America, Kevin McCarthy thumbed his nose at him. He turned around and said, "I don't need your votes. I'm going to be speaker." Like, that guy, his ego is about the size of California, in my estimation. So now, as we are trailing towards the eighth vote on this speakership for this session of Congress, Kevin McCarthy has suffered humiliating defeat after humiliating defeat. And it seems like he's actually, you know, begging these people to now vote for him. I'm sure you heard last night that there was an emergency meeting, and it was rumored that Kevin had agreed to all of these things that the Freedom Caucus and the segment of the House that don't want to vote for him, that he had agreed to their demands. Well, that didn't accumulate to anything. You know, they came back last night. It was chaos on the floor. They adjourned and then they came back today. And obviously, people are not voting for Kevin McCarthy still.
And rightfully so. I mean, he's going to go away. And whether he likes it or not, he's going to go away. We are not going to allow him to be speaker after what he did to J6 Patriots, after what he did to President Trump, literally backstab President Trump and kick him out of office. I mean, it is just, you know, forget the rest. And so I'm thoroughly enjoying the process. And in the meantime, you know, let's have fun with it. Go ahead, get Trump's name in there just to freaking get him fired up. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and have him another taxpayer 20 pizzas and a couple of shots of vodka. Send them their way. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If this takes till summer, let it take till summer. That's fine. Like you said, what's going to happen after this is done? Nothing. Absolutely freaking nothing. We're going to go back to stagnation. We're going to get single bills that are going to go through, and then the Senate's going to either block them or not allow them to go through. And if they do get them passed, then Biden's going to, you know, veto them. We don't have a veto-proof majority. So, you know, this is the stand that we can make. These are the changes that we can make to better America. And like you said, the Freedom Caucus is the foundation of change, compromise, and solutions in the House. They are the only ones that are there. And if Kevin McCarthy doesn't want them on committee assignments because, well, gee, that would be good for solutions and change, well, then you don't get it. You're not hearing, you're not listening, and goodbye.
Yes, exactly. Now, Gump says, Marjorie Taylor Greene is the new Dan Crenshaw. I personally believe she is a rhino because she wants Kevin McCarthy to be the speaker. Now, I am still on the fence about MTG. I understand why people would think that. But as I said yesterday on Badlands, and I think I probably also said it in my own episode of RPN in the afternoon, I believe that as long as Kevin McCarthy has his name in the hat to become Speaker of the House, the people who have already agreed to support him are going to continue to vote for him. Only once he withdraws his name from consideration will those people be freed up to do anything else. I think it's highly possible, Abe, that President Trump, maybe many other members of the House, were aware from the get-go that Kevin was not going to have the votes. And by creating those alliances, making that promise to support Kevin McCarthy, even though you think he can't win, but he is deluded and believes he can, that creates an allyship, and it allows for somebody to call in a vig on Kevin McCarthy sometime in the future. So if, you know, think about these politicians, you know, they've got their own bills that they want to get through. They've got to raise support in the caucus. And in order to do that, they have to forge these relationships. So I don't know that Marjorie Taylor Greene is a lost cause or that she's a rhino or the new Dan Crenshaw. Dan Crenshaw, I believe, is definitely a rhino. He called the Freedom Caucus terrorists yesterday. And then when he was confronted about it, he said, you know, grow a thicker skin. You know, calling someone a terrorist is about the worst thing you can possibly do. That's what the mainstream media and the left have been saying about us for years now. Personally, I think it's a libelous accusation. And Dan Crenshaw saying it, he should understand the weight of that. That man is a veteran. He lost his eye in service to his country. Dan Crenshaw knows the weight of that statement. I believe Dan Crenshaw truly is a rhino. He's McCain light.
Well, here, grow some thick skin, Dan Crenshaw. You have PTSD and have mental issues to the point where we are seriously considering your mental state and whether you can make good decisions or not anymore. So, you know, we have serious concerns about you and your mental state because of what you went through. You need some more thick skin to deal with that there, Danny. Secondarily, it's okay to disagree, bro. I hate this that because somebody disagrees with what they want to happen, then that person's a terrorist. It's just as bad as Dan. Mm-hmm. And MTG has been there for a while and has been banned from doing anything worthwhile. If MTG made a deal to get on a main committee to a point where she could actually get some stuff done, like some major shit done on judiciary or something like that, or maybe in legislation and regulation, if she can get some stuff done, then what? Then all of a sudden she's a patriot again. So, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game. I hate DC the way it works. Agreed. But yes, you have to work within the system, and it's okay to disagree. We have to remember that. It's okay to debate. It's okay to disagree. It's okay to agree to disagree. And social media and the way that the CIA's version of deep dreaming society, it was to keep us at each other's throats and keep us in disagreement and not allow for disagreement. And we're trying to work our way ourselves back into that to where we can, you know, okay, well, I don't agree with what your stance is there, but I still see that you want what's best for the country. We need to get back to that, bro.
Yeah. So my only point to anybody out there who has misgivings about any of these people is simply to remember how Washington, D.C. works. It's a city state unto its own. It's like its own little microcosm. And in order to survive in Washington, D.C. and to survive in American politics, as disgusting as it is, you must create alliances. It's all about relationships. It's all about quid pro quo. It's what can you do for me if I do something for you? And that is fully a disgusting proposition. I think for most people, it's abhorrent. You know, I mean, like we here, the average everyday working people of America, we do what we mean. We do what we say, what we mean, and we do what we say. All right. And we're not out here trying to work people and to manipulate situations so that we can end up in a particular spot over and above other people. I think we have a lot of psychopaths and a lot of sociopathic behavior in Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, that's what happens. Once you get there, you have to play among this game of manipulation. So I truly believe that you will see and hear politicians do and say things that betray their true feelings or what their true intentions are. And when it happens and it's, you know, and it's obvious and it affects America, we can see it so clearly. You know, I mean, think about how many times over the years politicians have said they plan to do one thing while they were running, and then they get into office and then, oh, suddenly they don't do it or they're unable to do it. And, you know, they just move on like business as usual. I think the same can be said when you flip the coin. You know, these politicians have to tell each other that they're going to do something or behave in a certain way. And it might not necessarily mean that they are exactly who they say they are. Hey, what's up, Penny Whitbrod? It's good to see you out there. She says, I don't take issue with MTG supporting McCarthy. I do, however, question her motivation in calling out Boebert, Roy, and Gates. I can see what you're saying there on that one. But at the same time, I can still see it within the context of this relationship that she has developed with Kevin McCarthy. Because if he becomes Speaker of the House and if they are able to secure the votes eventually, she's going to be playing to whatever Kevin McCarthy wants her to do. And if her position on a committee is dependent upon that, you know, that's simply what it is. And then also MB Gloss says, just maybe Gates started the avalanche of votes for Trump. I wonder what Ivan Raiklin is thinking. Yes, I texted Ivan as soon as I heard Matt Gaetz say that, and I haven't heard from him, but I'm pretty certain he's actually in Washington, D.C., watching all of this go down right now. Sunny Day over on the Foxhole says, I loved the Badlands show you did about the Mandela effect. Usually I miss live shows, but I always watch replays. Awesome, Sunny. I'm glad that you enjoyed it, and I'm glad that you're able to be here with us right now. You guys, I just want to remind everybody, Penny Whitbrod, former guest on the program. She's been here a couple of different times. I'm sure she's going to be back in the future. We were just talking around Christmas about doing a special collaboration on her channel and my channel. I would highly recommend that you follow her both on her website and then also on her Rumble channel, because Penny is an excellent resource for healthcare related stuff, and of course she has some pretty profound personal experiences, so definitely check her out. One other person, Abe, that I feel comfortable saying I'm very disappointed in is Sean Hannity, you know, because he has become an absolute shill for Kevin McCarthy. I think that there's no mistaking it when you take a look at his behavior, and especially in this interview with Lauren Boebert last night. You know, he is like front and center.
She did a great job last night handling him.
She did. You know, and she did this a great job on MSNBC as well. But Kevin McCarthy is not the guy. I think that it's pretty obvious, and I feel like Sean Hannity has lost the pulse of the people. You know, I don't think we need to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I'm disappointed in Sean Hannity. Let me play this this clip from the show last night. Oh shoot, I have to actually go to it. And while that's pulling up, Janice 6966 says, "Here's the bottom line: the people, us, absolutely do not want McCarthy as Speaker. So shouldn't our Congress abide by the will of the people?"
Yeah.
I absolutely believe that that's exactly what they should do. And I think that's what the Freedom Caucus is attempting to do. The problem is that there are so many self-serving, egotistical maniacs that get into politics and end up in Washington, D.C. And like I said, both of us, this is cutthroat. Okay, so the people that usually end up successful are the people that are the biggest bastards. And I'm sorry to say that, but that tends to be the truth. Here's that clip.
So you and others fought hard for a motion to vacate with only five Republicans able to trigger that motion. Kevin McCarthy didn't want to give it to you, but he did give it to you in the end. To me, that's kind of an insurance policy. Can I finish?
But he didn't all the way. He did not.
Sure. He gave you what you asked for, And one of the things that I've been asking people, I'm asking you tonight, who is your final choice for speaker? And if you can't get more than, let's say, 30 votes, will you follow your own advice that you are asking Donald Trump and withdraw?
There are certainly names that are being floated around. And, hey, maybe I should nominate President Donald J. Trump tomorrow. But, Sean, I did watch your show last night.
Is this a game
night,
show?
And I
like, we're going to pick
on this motion.
We're going to pick Jim Jordan one day, Donald's the other day, Trump.
How his dismissive attitude, I find it offensive. Continuing.
The next
on
day?
This motion to vacate, because he did not give us this motion to vacate. I'm showing there's a whole consensus of other candidates.
But I'm trying to understand
but
how you're thinking
here. This motion to vacate, Sean, you need to understand that Kevin McCarthy did not give us my hard red line.
He fought for
it. And this is a century old, a centuries, no, he did not.
No, I know that he made the promise.
That was written by Thomas Jefferson.
I know he made the promise because
1837 with five members, Sean, with five members, not one member to offer the motion to vacate.
So my question is this.
Nancy Pelosi's
you haven't answered my question. So if you have.
You cannot demand more responsibility.
Yesterday you supported Jordan. Today you're supporting Donald.
That's not the way this works. We need a check and a balance on the third in line.
Who is your fight? Let's have a final answer. Who do you want to be Speaker of the House?
For the conference to decide. We need to come together.
Who do you want? I'm asking who you want.
What does it look like life after Kevin? We need to find somebody who can actually unify the Republican Party. I have.
Okay, so let's talk about that, Abe. Life after Kevin McCarthy. President Trump, I think that his support of Kevin McCarthy is another political maneuver, because if Kevin McCarthy becomes Speaker of the House and President Trump is going to come back to the office of the presidency, he's going to need to have that alliance. Now, if President Trump is aware that Kevin will not have enough votes, his open support of him is, again, another chip that President Trump can cash in at some point in the future, should Kevin McCarthy play ball and actually make good on promises. But he started out yesterday saying, you know, we have to elect Kevin McCarthy Speaker of the House. He's been saying it for a couple of days. And then at some point, he called out the name of someone. I can't remember. He's not even in Congress. But he said, you know, this guy would be the worst pick for Speaker of the House. And that to me signals that President Trump is pointing to the possibility that somebody else must be nominated. So then President Trump put out a couple of messages and said very good things are happening behind the scenes for the Republican Party. Intense but smart negotiations between great and patriotic people are ongoing. They all love our country and want something to go forward ASAP. This event will end up making the Republican Party stronger and more united than ever before. Our nation is at stake. Stay tuned and make America great again. And then he said, I actually think that a big Republican victory today, after going through numerous roll calls that failed to produce a Speaker of the House, has made the position and process of getting to the Speaker bigger and more important than if it were done in the more traditional way. Much like me, again, becoming president after having won in 2016, gotten many more millions of votes in 2020, but supposedly not winning. Big lie. And then winning again in 2024. It will be bigger than the traditional way. I think he's right, Abe. I think that this puts more attention on it, and it shows that the members of Congress that we have right now are simply not going to go along with whatever the party is demanding they do, because we've had that for years. This is the status quo. People get in line, they capitulate, and they're willing to just do it for the sake of doing it. We got to take a break for the second half of the show. I want to get your thoughts on the other side of that, Abe. We'll be right back. All right, Abe, your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I go.
A human catastrophe is closing in. Nobody knows how far this one is going to go. You can feel the heat as tension is rising globally. War is expensive. Open a Noble Gold Investments IRA today, and you can claim a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Just use the promo code GOLD. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Go to the chess mind of President Trump, where the mainstream media and the vast majority of people don't go to. Is President Trump a chess player big enough to where he will put somebody on blast that deserves it, such as, I don't know, Paul Ryan, Bill Barr, Kevin McCarthy?
Mm-hmm.
Is he tactical enough to where he would bring attention to somebody who he knows damn well backstabbed him? Mm-hmm. It ain't like we're the only ones who's going to forget. So that's where I go to with this. President Trump is very tactical in the way he brings attention to and draws attention to topics. And I love the way that he does that, because he plays MAGA just as easily as he plays the left and the media. So, I love the way he does it, because he's very, very skilled at it. And he's to the point where you everyone is just like, there's a plan behind what he's doing. And in the end, Kevin McCarthy is not going to be Speaker of the House, just as I'll go there, just as Brunson Case is not going to go anywhere, just as President Trump is not going to be Speaker. But in the end, the process is fun. In the end, the process is engaging. People are engaging in the speakership process, where 2 weeks ago, no one gave a shit that $1.7 billion was spent. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden they care about Kevin McCarthy. It's interesting to see how the reactions of people, more so. And I think my brother kind of nailed this yesterday when he said on my show, he was like, I'm just thoroughly loving watching Kevin McCarthy being put on blast while everybody else is being exposed for either the establishment kind of shill that they are, or maybe just not seeing through the literal house of cards games that's happening out there. So it's fun to watch, man. And again, in the end, President Trump is going to be help guide the process going forward this year, and nothing's probably going to get done, and that's all that matters. So in the meantime, we're going to have some fun with the process, and Kevin McCarthy is going to be put on blast as many times as he has to before he goes the frick away.
Yes, absolutely. Now, to the point of everyone in the chat who has mentioned that the people don't want Kevin McCarthy, I spoke with CanCon about this yesterday, but Rasmussen did a survey to determine what the likelihood of support for Kevin McCarthy would be among the American people. Over the totality of the survey, less than half, 48% of Republican voters want Kevin McCarthy to become Speaker of the House. 29% of them are opposed, and 24% are undecided. Now, Democratic voters oppose McCarthy by a 20-point margin, 48% to 28%. It's almost the exact same numbers on both the right and the left that don't want Kevin McCarthy. It's kind of interesting. There are actually more people now. It's 28% in favor on the Democrat side. 28% on the Democrat side that are in favor. So slightly less, but it's almost exactly the same amount. And it just goes to show you, across the entirety of the United States, it's not Kevin McCarthy. I want to get your thoughts on Byron Donalds, because several people I saw yesterday saying, Byron Donalds, he's a freshman. This is going to be a second term. What does Byron Donalds know? Why would he be Speaker of the House? And my answer to that is that President Trump had no experience as an elected official when he was elected in 2016. And then, I guess he had experience when he was elected in 2020. But I think that the presence of an office that was held prior to taking a big office like this really doesn't have any bearing on it. Penny also said Hannity could do his show in 8 minutes every night if he quit restating everything. Also, it's compulsive liar, not congenital liar, you boob. Okay, so yes, what is your opinion on Byron Donalds?
I love his story, and I love his mind, and I love his debate skills. So I look forward to just hearing more from him in general. I love he's something. He's a threat to the left because he's something they don't have: an intellectual, well-informed, well-educated black man. They don't have that on the left. They have nothing but Uncle Tom puppets who just do what they're told. So he's just a threat to the left in general, just as bringing the topic of President Trump up as Speaker is just triggering the hell out of him. And it's fun to do. I mean, these people gaslight, you watched Hannity gaslight us right off the bat. You watched everyone else gaslight us all day for the last, 6-10 years. It's kind of fun to watch the left and even some MAGA just kind of get into the emotional side of it all. But in the end, it's a fun process, and it should be an engaging process. And then we'll go back to you know, I bet you Congress's approval rating right now is higher than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
go back to a 13% approval rating as soon as they get a speaker passed, you know?
Yeah. You know, more than anything, I agree with you on people becoming educated about the process. This is something that's been lost. I mean, people have just, negated their responsibility. They passed it off. Civics is not taught anymore, so people don't know how these things are supposed to go down. And they see a recurring vote over and over and over again, and the Republican caucus unable to come to an agreement, or Kevin McCarthy refusing to step back, and they think, well, there must be some problem, because it's the entire time I've been alive, it's always happened in a single vote. But again, that is just that's people no longer paying attention to their values or to their conscience and just doing what they're told because party leadership tells them to do it. I want you guys to hear this clip from Byron Donalds. I don't know a lot about him. Yeah, go ahead.
Before you go there, it's even worse, though, because there's a large part of our community that is very well informed, that sees what's been happening in D.C. and is just so jaded in the process that they're just, they don't believe that it's worth anything, that it's just it's all a clown show and nothing matters, and that is even more dangerous than any part of it. We cannot just turn our backs on the process, not stay engaged, and not be as vocal as we possibly can be under the guise that nothing's ever going to change anyway, or it's just all a big clown show and it's all, you know, it's all hope is lost. That is even more dangerous, and Byron brings the hope and the ideas of debate back to it. Go ahead and let's hear them.
Yeah. You know, more than anything, and I've said this a number of times, you know, I loved Donald Trump because he was such a radical departure of the status quo. I was ready to vote for anybody who wasn't a politician at that point. Certainly anybody who wasn't an establishment candidate. So Byron Donalds, I like his affectation. I like how he speaks. I like the ideas that he puts out. And I think that he has been great in the House up until this point. But take a listen to this. They ask him if he's worried about some type of retribution from Kevin McCarthy because he refuses to support him and he had the gall to vote for himself.
Are you worried about retribution after the fact? There was threats that to vote for McCarthy would be kicked off committees. Now you've put yourself in a pretty public position opposing the person that could be the speaker. Are you worried about retribution?
Man, I'm 6'2", 275. I'm not worried about that.
Are you worried about retribution?
I'm 6'2", 275. I'm not worried about that. Good. We need people who are... We need people who are confident in Congress. We need people who are not afraid to go their own way or to go the way that their conscience tells them they should be going. Or more than anything, most importantly, to go the way the American people dictate they should go, because we elected you. You would be unemployed if it wasn't for the people of this nation. You should be representing the will of the people. And for a very long time, the people in Congress have represented nothing more than the lobbying interests, than their own personal finances, and their friends. But they're not representing the people. We need them to represent us. So I'm really excited to see how this plays out for the rest of the day. The news cycle is essentially dominated by this right now. You'd think that basically nothing else is happening out there because we actually did have a bit of movement in the Carrie Lake trial. Abe, I'm sure that you heard that she had a petition to have her case moved to the state Supreme Court. I'm actually a little fuzzy on the judicial structure there in Arizona, because you have the Arizona Supreme Court, but then you have the state Supreme Court, which appears to be over and above that. And I guess I just always assumed that those two things were one and the same. Do you have any direct information about that for me, Abe?
I mean, the way I understand it is you can go to the state Supreme Court, and then there's like the appeals court that is like the district courts, you know, like the 6th district, the 9th district, whatever like that, that covers several states. That's the structure that I understand. I don't know that there's a separate, other than that, you know, there's the local jurisdiction, right? And then there's, the overseers of that. And then there's the Supreme Court over all of that, right? So there is that, and then there's the appeals court, and you know, Carrie's Lake case shows damage to criminality. It's got a lot of potential. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I think that perhaps I just read it incorrectly because they refer to it as the Arizona Supreme Court, and then they refer to her petition to go directly to the state Supreme Court, bypassing the state appeals court. So, okay, they actually are the same body. And this was exactly what I thought previously. I just was confused when I read it on the fly here. But you're right. Yeah, sure. The argument is that, you know, there was criminality. There was intent. And I think that was shown. You know, what was the most shocking moment of the Lake trial for you, Abe?
None of it was shocking. The only thing that was semi shocking to me is the fact that, 10 of the counts that are the most, obvious violations of Arizona statutes got thrown out. And Carrie Lake is appealing on those statutes because she's got a solid case. You can't violate Arizona state law and then just ignore it because why? Because what? You whatever reason you want to come up with. And so, you know, all of these things, a lot of people have seen go to the courts and just have lost complete and total faith in the courts. And again, that's too simplified of an argument for the courts to just say they're all corrupted or it's not worth the time or nothing's ever going to happen with it. There's a lot of case law and tort reform that does have to happen in order for us to get our legal system back into check, granted there. But in the meantime, that doesn't mean that there's no hope on these cases. And Carrie's case is very, very, very solid. And I'm watching it very closely, bro.
I absolutely agree. And I think that this is a good move. You know, I mean, it takes, you know, some time out of the equation. It gets her to a higher court quicker. And so they have scheduled it for a date for a hearing. I believe that is going to be January 23rd, if I'm not mistaken. Where did it go? I'm sorry, January 24th. That's when they're going to hear oral arguments. I did not play this yet on the show, and it's something that I keep meaning to. But this is Katie Hobbs being sworn in her private ceremony. I think normally it's done in a public ceremony, but of course she's got concerns about her safety and security. But it just a very odd thing happened when she was asked if she would swear to uphold the Constitution. Let's take a listen.
Do solemnly swear
that I will support the Constitution. So when she's asked if she will support the Constitution, she, instead of just saying yes, of course, part of her oath, she bursts into laughter and she kind of deflects for a second. I mean, it seemed to me to almost be it was a show of guilt, but it was done unintentionally. You know, like it was almost like her body reacted when she was presented with the possibility that she might get caught for stuff she's already done because she's already not supported the Constitution in a number of just very public ways.
The mindset of a leftist is there's no such thing as the Constitution or sure. The rule of law. It doesn't even enter their thought process when they consider anything because they don't look at it as a document that should be held by. They look at it as a moving document that, is no longer valid. So, you know, I think it was a natural reaction for her just like, yeah, I'll support the Constitution, sure, whatever that is, you know, this 200-year-old document written by old white men, right? Yeah. So I think that was the reaction. It was just like, yeah, sure thing, buddy.
Yeah. So look at this, too. Look at the gaslighting on behalf of the mainstream media. We had Hannity dismissing Lauren Boebert for standing with her morals. We had Dan Crenshaw calling them terrorists. And now, I guess earlier today, Fox and Friends calling the 20 Republicans standing in unison against Kevin McCarthy insurrectionists and saboteurs. You know, I wonder if they got their talking points directly from Paul Ryan on this one. This makes me even more proud of these 20 brave representatives refusing to buckle in the face of what must be an overwhelming amount of pressure. I mean, we saw yesterday Matt Gaetz said that one of his colleagues had received a threatening text message from Kevin McCarthy. I mean, can you imagine? I would love to FOIA the conversations that these people are having behind the scenes just to witness the pure panic and you know, in Kevin's case, the humiliation.
Yeah, it's freaking hilarious to watch. And you're absolutely right, though. While you said it facetiously, but Paul Ryan is giving the talking points here. And it says a lot about where, well, 2020 should have said everything we needed to know about Fox News already, right? I mean, there's Tucker's been just killing it with as far as finding the most relevant topics that even alternative media is talking about. You know, I think Hannity for a while there got a lot of his cues from Q drops and from the alternative community. He had news advisors that would pay attention to what shows like yours and I's were talking about, and they would, you know, throw a few of those bones into the mainstream. And the only people that are doing that right now that I see is Jesse Waters and Tucker Carlson and Glenn Beck and those types that are willing to take these topics on and really get more exposure to them. And that's always been the way it is, right? The government does not want people talking about things that are at least the least bit embarrassing to anything they do there. Mm-hmm. And they have been manipulating the discussion using the Department of Homeland Security all the way up to DARPA to manipulate the talk and to not allow the truth to come out there. And the more people that see that, however they have to see it, the better.
I agree. I absolutely agree. All right. So one of the least popular members of the House of Representatives was Adam Kinzinger. I think we can all agree on that. You know, Adam Cryan Kinzinger. He was perhaps related to John Boehner. I don't know. But he has now joined the team at CNN. I think that is also something that many people will not be surprised to hear. He put out a tweet. Adam Kinzinger says he's happy to join the team, CNN. And now he is going to be working with them as a senior political correspondent. I don't think this is going to do CNN any favors. I don't think it's going to win them any new viewers. I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing his hot takes on the air there, especially given the fact that CNN and the leadership there have openly said that they're trying to move away from this ultra partisan left wing type of politics that they've been pushing on the American people for so many years. The only thing that's missing is Liz Cheney. I don't know. Has Liz Cheney actually also joined the cast there at CNN?
Oh, I know she's going to be looking for a job real soon. I know that much.
Yeah.
Speaking of veterans with PTSD, Dan Crenshaw and Adam Kinzinger are examples, not only in DC or in the mainstream media community that of representatives, but it also happens in the alternative media community as well, where people raise up veterans on a pedestal, and so therefore they look to them with more credence in their opinions or what they say, when in reality, you know, there's the vast majority of people that I've met in the Marine Corps were complete and total morons and manipulated idiots. I mean, let's be freaking real here.
Yeah.
You know, yes, respect them for their service, respect for what they've done, but that doesn't give them better knowledge or more information. And in fact, it compartmentalizes their information even more, to where it limits the perspective. And it makes it easier for people around the veterans to manipulate them even more into the puppets that they are. And so this topic for me is a bigger picture one that frustrates the hell out of me, not just in the alternative media community, but in general. I love the respect that people give to veterans for their service, especially those that have been injured in some kind of way. But that doesn't mean that they have more credence or more perspective or more knowledge than anybody else.
Yes, absolutely. So I wanted to make sure that we talked about the situation that was reported on this morning. Some evidence of election irregularities, you might say, in Pennsylvania, Luzerne County, Pennsylvania. Some people who were actually working on the elections on November 8th were giving an interview with a local Pennsylvania news agency. One of the people was Alyssa Fusaro. She said that poll workers, and that included five judges of elections, canceled at several precincts, which almost caused them to be shut down, and also that several printers ran out of ballot paper. Now, would you be surprised if I told you that these were Republican-leaning precincts? I would hazard a guess and say no. And what's also interesting is that the problems that were reported in Pennsylvania on Election Day also seem to mysteriously not affect any Democrat-leaning districts. This is, not surprising. I mean, this is just the same pattern of events. Oh, and we just lost Abe. Yeah, election irregularities. That's funny. So this is, again, this is the same thing that happened in Arizona. It's in the same thing in Georgia. She said that initial tally sheets were wildly unreconcilable for several polling places. One of them had a discrepancy of as many as 1,000 votes. And she's had a number of affidavits from people who were unable to vote, and they were actually turned away when they showed up to do so. So, again, this is business as usual in modern America in the 21st century. And this is something that we need to fix if we hope to have fair and free elections in the future. This is not simply an irregularity or something that, just happened out of the blue. These are illegal actions that are taking place in counties and cities all over the nation. This is the reason why I continually press you guys to get involved in local politics. The candidates that we have now, the people who have thrown their name in the hat in so many of these places are compromised, and it's going to take a lot of time to get them out of there. And the only way that that can happen is if we have people to replace them. And it looks like Abe's call dropped, yes, and he'll be back later. So I'll get a hold of him after the show. All right, let me go over here to the chats and see if there's anything over there. Best choice for speaker would be Trump himself. I agree. That's S. Topple over on Odyssey. Let me see. And then is the live stream not? Oh, the live stream's not working on Odyssey. What the heck? Let me refresh. That's so weird. Yeah, it's not working. Okay. Sorry about anybody who is trying to watch over on Odyssey. Thank you over here on Getter. Kevin must step aside. Jeffries ahead of McCarthy. Oh, C-SPAN has to have its highest ratings ever. Yes, I'm certain that they probably do. Let me go ahead and look over here on Rumble. Yeah, did I say that, Wheezy? That's so funny. That's funny. Solo Tango says, I don't like the hero worship of today. My grandpa didn't like it either, and he was a World War II vet. Yeah, I think that America has an issue with placing people on pedestals and not thinking critically about who they are necessarily. Veterans have done a tremendous service to us. It's only through their service that America has remained free throughout the years. But the veterans that I know, they don't like being, overly lauded for it. It's fine. It's enough to say it once, not to draw too much attention to it. A lot of guys went through horrific circumstances. My grandpa fought in Italy during World War II, and he got shot in the leg. And, he didn't like talking about the war. He didn't like talking about the stuff that he saw. I'm sure that he saw some bad stuff. Over here on the Foxhole, Sunny Day, thanks again for that Mandela effect comment. Lou Ann V says, what a time to be alive. Warrior for Jesus says, I just want to tell you that I appreciate your work, brother. God bless you. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate you being here. Cynthia, thank you for that cookie. Filter Dog 1 says, hashtag never Kevin. Nakaz 808 says, aloha, Red Pill fam. Aloha, brother. And Lisa's feeling better now, so I'm going to check out that stuff on Instagram. And then Jay, just Jay, thank you very much for that phone. I appreciate it. Vote number eight. Yes, vote number eight is coming up. Obviously, I'm going to be talking about this later on in the day. Yes, it's true, Sousa Castle. Kevin is 0 and 8. Well, I think he's 0 and 7. The eighth vote has yet to take place, if I'm not mistaken, or it, maybe it's happening right now. Yes. Oh, North Africa, Mom. Sorry, North Africa. That's close to Italy. But yes, North Africa. Okay, cool. Thank you. All right, guys, that's all I've got for you today. Let me go ahead and pass out these gold pills. I'll be back at 4 p.m. on 412's channel for another episode of Taking It Back. And then I have my own episode of RPN doing an updates on what's happened with the speaker vote. I'm expecting at least two more votes. Who knows how many votes Kevin McCarthy is going to allow himself to endure. This is a humiliating defeat for him, and he's got to be feeling like it's time to pull out at any time. But here's the thing. Like I said earlier, I think it really is all about ego. He believes that it's his time to be Speaker of the House, and if only he can force the people who don't want to vote for him to cast a ballot in his name, then he can make it. And then once he does, he'll have control of the House. He's going to feel like the big man on campus. But at this point, Kevin, it's not going to happen. All right. And maybe if you would have supported America First candidates in the midterms, maybe if you hadn't taken money from FTX, maybe if you hadn't used that money to campaign against the people that we wanted in Congress, people like my good friend J.R. Majewski, maybe things would be different. But coulda, woulda, shoulda, you didn't. And so here we are. And now you're not going to be Speaker of the House. Thank you very much to everybody for being here. Miss Vici, one more time. Is her unmovable support for McCarthy guarantees her admittance to the committees she has been blocked from? Yes, I would think that if we're talking about MTG, or we're talking about anybody who has supported Kevin, if Kevin gets through, then yes, he would have promised her something. And the fact that she's been shut out from those committees, I would imagine that that's probably what she's going to get. But I would think whoever ends up being Speaker of the House, she's probably going to get a committee assignment. Question is it the committee assignment she wants? Again, this is politics. This is all about the relationships. This is about the quid pro quo and the glad handing. So thank you again for being here. And until later tonight, good luck and God bless. We'll see you then.